The Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change, invites us to expand our lives by changing the lens we see through. Is something different calling you? Do you ever ask yourself, is this all there is? Or have you forgotten why you're even here? Trish and Diane create insightful and empowering conversations about connecting the self, soul, nature, and community. Navigating life by choice rather than circumstance is how we make the shift to expand our humanity. The shift starts now.
Welcome, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy 2022. I'm Diane McClay, your host of The Shift, and I'm with my friend and my co-host, Trish Campbell, and we are just so grateful that you made the choice to be with us today. It's a new year. It's a time where people start to make resolutions. And one of the things that Trish and I actually resolved in our hearts when we first started the show is that we felt like it was important to acknowledge our past, to acknowledge the people of the First Nations, the Indigenous people, the Native Americans who came before us. So I want to start our show, our very first show, 2022, with an acknowledgement of that the bands of people, the land that I sit on, that I do my show from, my house, my community, the place from which I do business. I am openly acknowledging that that land was owned and lived on by people prior to me. They are the original stewards of this land. They are the original stewards of the prosperity of this nation. And those bands of people, those tribes, those cities of people who came before us, they're being lost in our stories, in our culture. They are even losing their own culture. So to start our show, I just want to acknowledge that my prosperity comes on the heels of the people who were colonized and who were settled. And those people in my area are the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs and the Yakima Nations, the Nez Perce Tribe, the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Reservation, the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, and the Cowlitz Tribes of my area. So I acknowledge that because of the work and stewardship these people have done prior to me, I acknowledge that I am connected to their land and to their history, and I promise that I will continue to bring that forward. Trish, I know you've got some people in your nation that are named and unnamed you like to call out.
Thanks, Diane. Always so well articulated and of the sentiment that we come here with, and I'm so grateful for that and for the opportunity that we have to come to everyone today from this platform, from this space, from this land that I settle on, which is the land of the first Mississaugas of the Credit First Nations, the Haudenosaunee, the Huron-Wendat, and the Ojibwe Chippewa. And like you said, whether they're named or unnamed, those original inhabitants modeled for over millennia their stewardship for our Mother Earth, their connection to Mother Earth, their connection to one another. And ultimately, that's what we're here talking about, is raising our consciousness and going back to the one where we're all connected. So this is like we're walking the walk and we're doing this. We live this way in our life, and this is why it's so important to, you know, speak out about this on our show and speak to it. And uncovering, unlearning, reframing, you know, what we know and looking at things from a different perspective.
And doing it in real time. Literally stuff happens to us. And, you know, an hour before the show, we had a conversation about things that were going on in our lives. And I want to start out by saying that, you know, we hear the old, especially at the start of the new year, right? Out with the old, in with the new, don't dwell on the past. Well, I think that one of the things that we want to call out is the reason why we make an acknowledgement of the first people of the Indigenous nations, of the people who came before us, is because you can't get anywhere if you just forget the past. Mm-hmm. Now, not dwelling in it is completely different than not remembering it. And for Trish and I in particular, remembering who we used to be, that's a journey that we are both coming into. Remembering that we were people before, we had our own personalities and our own way of doing things, kind of before we gave that up, gave our power away. To our workplaces, to our families, you know, to our institutions, to our culture, to our society. And as we move into 2022, the shirt I'm wearing today is Love Me. It's actually in honor of Trish and her book, Love Me, which is now in pre-sale mode right now. We'll talk about that a little bit. But it's, I put it on today because it's a reminder that we have to start with ourselves first. And if we put too much energy into everybody else, we can get trapped and we can give up our power. Trish, do you want to lead in with kind of where we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, I mean, and that's so, so true. I think, you know, looking at where we've where we've been and connecting the dots backwards and understanding how we got to where we're where we've gotten. But, you know, as we learn things and come to know things we can't then unknow, we can unlearn and change our beliefs as we evolve. But it's once we kind of see things from a different perspective, it helps us to, you know, put that into application in our life if we want to. So what we're talking about today in the context of doing that is how we have given our power away by maybe having an auto response or a reactionary response to dynamics where we're involved, whether it's at the workplace or whether it's with family or friends or whatever. A lot of us were just together at the holidays and had those experiences. So it might be something that resonates for you right now about, you know, are we in the title of our show is are you responding or reacting? And I think, you know, us wanting to take things deeper and to go beneath, you know, what it is that we know in society is to, you know, kind of dissect what those words mean and kind of word nerd it out and, you know, response versus reaction. And I think when we do that, and again, because we always like to look at things and why we're doing it, not just, we don't have to, one of the things I've learned is we don't have to always do things the way we've always done them, just because that's the way it's always been, whether it's in our family or the workplace. I was just having that conversation with somebody today. That's like another thing that happens. We end up getting in these patterns of behavior, just like an auto response.
Right. And I think you nailed it when you said, you know, we've all stepped away from our workplaces. We've spent time with friends and family, and family doesn't mean your blood family, right? It could mean, you know, the people you've chosen to be your family. But when we spend a concentrated amount of time around people that we don't normally spend time around, we start to observe things and we start to think things. And, you know, anybody who's listening, just ask yourself, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, did I get triggered by anybody that I spent time around, right? Yeah. Just like, did I get triggered? And if you're in your car and you're nodding, yes, I did, then this conversation for you, because you're reacting, you have a trigger and there's an automatic response. And we want to give you some tips on how to shift your power out of reacting and responding to somebody else that tries to trigger you. And we want to put you back in your power by giving you the awareness that you can actually generate a response. And we mentioned word nerding. Trish, do you want to explain why word nerding is important to us and then take on response, the definition of that?
Well, we're just nerds and we like to understand the words on a deeper level. And it's interesting, again, how things evolve over time. And a lot of times things lose their meaning. So I looked up the word respond, and respond comes from the Latin word re, and then sponsor. So re is, and it's also, respond comes from old French respondere, responder, correspond. But the Latin part, when you break it down with the re, interestingly enough, means going back to the original place. But another thing I learned, and what made so much sense and resonated, was like, it's a turning back, repetition of action. So for me, that I resonate with, like autopilot, being on autopilot without thinking, again, where we're giving our power away. But what's interesting is what's happened over time with the re prefix of a word is it's lost its meaning. It's like the meaning has become secondary. Like, for example, in recognition, receive, recommend, it's just lost that return to that returning back to the original. And then the sponsor is coming from a Latin word, sponsus, meaning to give assurance, to promise, to pledge and to libate, which when I think of libate, I think of libations, but it's an offering, really. So it's a returning back to the original, but an offering. And that's a response. And it's almost like that speaks to the grace of the word response versus when we talk about reaction.
I like that. And when you and I talked about this off air, I have a really nice quote. When I worked for state parks, I was in a lot of meetings and, you know, you always have that person, somebody's up at the front, they talk through something, then they ask the dreaded question, does anybody have anything to add? And there's always somebody who has to like get up and then repeat everything that just was said. Or there's the person who has to feel like they need to be acknowledged. And, a manager gave me a quote, and it's essentially like, think before I speak. And in order to be an effective speaker, he said, you know, I always ask myself these three questions before I volunteer in a meeting like that. Is what I'm going to say, has it already been said? Mm-hmm. Is it going to add value to the conversation? Is it going to distract from the conversation? And does it need to be me who says it?
Right.
That was really poignant for me as I was growing into leadership and management, because I used to be that person who was like, oh, I've got something to add.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized now in hindsight is that was a reaction. I was reacting to the question, does anybody have anything to add? But the thing that was going on underneath the surface was I had a need to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I was using that platform to further myself. But what was happening is the more I volunteered to say something, people stopped listening to me.
Yeah.
So I made myself a promise. So I want to tie this together. Respond, meaning to return back to, and spondere, to promise or return. I think of a response now as, Diane, what is the promise you made to yourself about thinking before you speak?
Yeah.
That's my version of response.
I love everything you just shared, because it really breaks it out into where people can kind of see how the difference between reacting and responding, because what you just said there about feeling the need to add and be seen and be heard, that's operating from our ego. And when we're operating from our ego is when we're reacting. And I feel like the response is more of an energy of higher consciousness, of like we talk about so much, and especially lately on the shift and in our conversations, about taking the pause, about allowing ourselves that awareness, about being in the watching place, about all of those things where we can take back the power, our power, to be empowered, and then making a choice. Do I really need to say this right now? Like you said, is it adding value? Or is it just so that I can say, I know this? And, you know, because I think there's also like there's the ego is attached in it to reaction from the ego perspective of like needing to be seen. But then there's also an emotional piece there too, where we're triggered and we're immediately like triggered into that auto response and
right.
Not really coming from the higher consciousness.
And I love how you brought the ego into it, right? Because the thing is the one of the ways you change your perspective is you change the words you use.
Mm-hmm.
But I teach awareness, and so do you, and you can't change something until you have awareness about it, which is why we word nerd, when words come up and we want to use them deliberately and intentionally, we give ourselves awareness, we return to the original iteration of the word so that we can apply it correctly. Now let's go to reaction, right? Okay, so anybody who's listening to this right now and you're like, I don't react, tell me that you don't react when someone speeds by you on a freeway and a word that describes that person doesn't come out of your mouth.
Right.
I was with my dad over the holiday, and there's a guy who sped past him, and my dad's in the right lane and an exit's coming up, and this guy sped past him, cut in front of him, and then went over the exit. And my dad, in his very definitive opinion, had a very clear word to describe that person.
Mm-hmm.
And he uttered it with a lot of volume and a lot of belief.
Yeah.
And I probably can't say the word on air, so I won't.
Yeah.
Right? That's a reaction.
It is a reaction.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you and I talked before we were on the air, we talked about reaction happens because we don't have all of the information. Mm-hmm. We don't have as much information as we need to really make a discerning, objectified opinion about what was happening. Would it change your opinion about that situation? on one perspective is, here's a guy who's just being a jerk on the road and he doesn't care about anybody else and he's getting to where he needs to be. The other perspective is, what if that was a volunteer emergency responder who just got a call out and they're trying to get to their firehouse or their EMT station so that they could go do their job and help somebody else?
Right.
Right. That changes that conversation. So are we in our best version of ourselves when we're reacting and calling people names? Like, calling that guy a name isn't going to change the fact that he's driving fast. It just made my dad's ego feel good about, I acknowledge you and I'm responding to you.
Yeah.
You're not responding. You're actually reacting to something that you got triggered on.
Right. And at the end of the day, what good does that do? Like you said, it just, we're putting our energy where it's wasted. And we all have those moments where this is part of our human experience. It was as high as our consciousness can get. We have those moments. I personally have had a, you know, recent experience where I found myself where I thought I was, you know, I was in a vulnerable place. And so when you're in a vulnerable place, you get maybe easily pulled into that and having to not recognize that it's the ego that's kind of been lured into having to prove oneself or to make a case or to be seen. But at the end of the day, it's those opportunities where we know, you know, why, you know, we can look back on in retrospect, because after that, I was like, why did that happen? Because that's not where I have been operating from. And then there's a sense of going through that process and understanding, I don't need to know all the details of why that, or the details don't really matter. It's understanding that I can forgive myself for taking myself to that place and learn from it. And then each time we do that is it strengthens, you know, that place of naturally coming into a place of pause and naturally coming into a place of awareness and not having to immediately, you know, react or to immediately even respond with something. Ultimately, like, why are we talking about this? Why is it important? Because like we're ultimately wanting to connect more deeply with other humans. Like, human connection is so important. So, right. And a lot of times all that stuff gets in the way, the reactionary, it ends up escalating into a place that neither party wanted that to go to.
Right.
It's not even about the real foundation of the connection. It's about something, it's about the ego and not about who we are at our core, at the soul level, at the higher consciousness level. So it's for what I would offer, like in my own practice, is like, you know, being proactive about that in your day to day, like have a practice of coming back to, I think this, the stronger we have back to love me and that foundation with ourself, the stronger we have a foundation with ourself, the less we have to kind of prove our worth or our value through having to react like in a knee jerk way. That's really unproductive in relationship.
Right. And it goes to the two words that I have on my wall. You know, I have choice and I have courage. And it's a question of who do you want to be and how do you want to show up in the world and how do you want to be perceived?
Right.
And then you have a choice on how that happens. If you're always reactionary, then you will be always functioning from a place of disempowerment. You won't be authentic. You won't be operating in the ideal way that you want to be perceived. Let's take being liked, for example. I just watched a TV show, Young Sheldon, and he's just learning, you know, that he's coming across as being arrogant to other people. And someone tells him, you know, you might want to consider how other people think about you. And in his brain, that doesn't make any sense at all because he's very science oriented. But he did an experiment where he started doing favors for people and he started realizing that people liked him and he started realizing that he liked being liked.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you want to be liked, then you have to show up in a way that allows people to see you and want to be around you. So if you're my dad and you're always calling somebody an expletive, and you're, as soon as that person cuts in front of you, you step on the gas and you try to tailgate them as much as you can. Well, now you're being perceived as the thing that you just called that other guy.
Yeah.
You're not being perceived as the polite driver, the respectful driver, the one that's going to give the safe distance just in case something happens. So this is really critical to me because I think response comes from power. And the way I would encourage our listeners to remember that is response and power have a P in them.
Yeah.
You know, reaction, the origin of that is, you know, giving back, R-E, but action comes from Latin, the nominative actio, which means putting into motion, performing or doing. So are you going to go back to doing what you always have done and be disempowered?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to go back to the promise you made yourself of how you want to show up?
Right.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, going back to what your dad, you know, him calling out the expletive and then actually becoming that, a lot of times what happens in our reaction, that auto response is projection of what's going on. And so we end up, like you said, he ended up being the one that was perceived as the expletive. And, you know, it can be a fine line between showing up how we want to be perceived, because that can like slide easily into people pleasing, but that's not what we're really talking about. We're talking about, you know, in order to engage with each other and to connect, there are certain, you know, and ultimately we can't control how people perceive us either. But we can control how we respond. We can control how we, any choices that we make. And going back to the word nerding on reaction, when I looked it up, it came up with it's a chemical reciprocal action of chemical agents upon each other. So for me, that's autopilot. That's like we become a chemical reaction without having any input into the action. And so that is where we, again, give away our power. So
in a basic example of that is baking soda and vinegar.
Yeah. Right?
Baking soda by itself is inert. Vinegar by itself is inert, meaning it doesn't do anything. It just sits there. When you put baking soda and vinegar together, the reaction you get, it is chemical, but it generates heat. It's an aggressive form of bubbling. You know, it's frothing. It's exploding, it's expanding, and it may or may not be the good kind of expanding, right?
Right.
So that's kind of a way I like our listeners to think about a reaction is like baking soda and vinegar. If you've never done it, get some baking soda and put it in your sink and put some vinegar on it, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, it'll clear a drain up too.
It'll clear a lot of things up.
I know
up,
that
right?
from experience.
Right. But you know, let's give a couple of steps that people can take home with them, because we've just, you know, we're now decompressing from the holidays. We're trying to get back into our regular work routine. We're trying to get back into these new resolutions that we may or may not have started putting forward in our lives. So if you know that you've reacted to something and you want to change, that's awareness. But what are two or three steps that you personally do, or you work with your clients to make that transition, to transform from reacting to responding?
Right. The first one is setting the foundation, which is the personal practice, the spiritual practice, whatever that looks like for you, meditation, nature, connecting with nature, whatever that is, to have your foundation set. But then in the experience or in the circumstance, it would be to pause, like we've talked about, take that pause, let go of any of the details, remove the emotion, because a lot of times that reaction is coming from emotion. So kind of separate that out. And like we've talked about before too, be in that watching place, be the witness, be the observer. So practice, it's a practice because it takes us over and over to do it over and over again, to have it become a natural way of being. And that's ultimately where we want to get to. And again, like I said, sometimes we go back to those old habits or patterns because they're so ingrained in us, and it's okay. It's where our soul is forgiving. We can have that conversation with our soul, and we're forgiven, and we just go back to it. And it's all part of our human experience. It's all a learning, just like everything in life.
You know, and in my form of, you know, if you react to something, just knowing that you reacted is, you're actually still in your power because you're aware of it.
Now
you can make a choice, right? Mm-hmm. Did I like that? Did I not like that? Do I wish I could have said something different? All right. If you wished you said something different, what does that look like? All right. How would I say it? Would I use a different time of day? Would I use a different tone? The more we can start, my hint would be is if we can start asking ourselves questions in the moment. Ooh, did that feel good? Did that feel aligned? Did that make me feel balanced? If you say no to any of those questions, you now have more information to start jumping into that transformation, right? So if I don't like how I just reacted, the next question I might ask myself is, how could I do it differently? What's one thing I could change? Mm-hmm. Another thing I challenge people to do is take your name out of it. Take your personality and your ego. You mentioned that. So if you applied the same concept of the situation, but it wasn't Diane McClay responding, what if it was Joe Schmo? How would Joe Schmo react? Well, guess what? Joe isn't attached to the same personal emotions that I'm attaching. So if you can be the observer and look at it from a different perspective, from someone else's place, that's going to give you more information. And then you start to have the information you need to form your response. The more time you spend in response, the less time you actually are in reaction.
Right. That's so true. That is everything you said. I think that, you know, looking at it from that place of witnessing and not having to react, it does feel so much better. It does feel like it's a sense of freedom to have that practice of not having that autopilot response to something, but coming at it from a different perspective. And each time you free yourself a little bit more.
You know, and as always, we grab a topic that we could talk for days on, and we just can't do that. But my encouragement now is if any of this struck home to any of our listeners, they can always get a hold of you at invibe.ca. They can catch me at dianemcclay.com. But moreover, the better place to extend this conversation is go to the Cornelia Stephanie Media app. It's the KS Media Group app. You can download it for free. Mm-hmm. Make sure you log in and become a member, because these types of conversations are happening in that app, in the live journaling questions. And there are other practitioners who can go deeper into different levels of reaction and response, right?
Right, exactly. And there's, the questions, the journaling, all that practice, that's what I was talking about having that, be proactive about it and connection with self.
And if you want to change your perspective, stay tuned for the Cornelia Stephanie show, Stories of Hope. She is next. And then one of our other friends, Jenny C. Cohen, is on at 1:30 with her show, Dance to Heal. I'm your host, Diane McClay, on The Shift Perspective, and Trish Campbell. And as always, we want to remind you, the shift, it starts with us. Trish.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Shift Podcast, where perspective and our power to change intersect. Slowing down to look at things from a different angle is necessary to affect positive change. You hold the power to transform yourself and your life. It is already inside you, and it's within reach. Clarity comes from awareness. Momentum comes from choice. Healing, growth, and transformation happen on The Shift Podcast, the first and third Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. For more information, go to invibe.ca or dianemcclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.